Tony Abbott called it his pledge in blood to abolish the carbon tax. But despite that, the Labor government scheme turns to today. The Prime Minister expects that he'll be able to fulfil his promise when new senators are sworn in next week, but that hope rests on the contrary figure of Clive Palmer. Even that new Senate looks likely to reject billions of dollars of the Prime Minister's first budget, and delegate negotiations will be needed to rescue those savings. But with increasing signs the public hasn't accepted the budget, will the upper house do the deals he needs? Prime Minister Tony Abbott joins me now. Tony Abbott, every poll since the budget shows whatever message it is that you're trying to sell, people aren't buying it. Does the fault lie with the product or the sales team?
It was never going to be easy to tackle Labor's debt and deficit disaster. It was never going to be easy to say to people that things that they've had or that they thought they might get under the Labor government were not going to be delivered, because we were simply living beyond our means. We were simply spending money we didn't have and couldn't sustainably borrow. It was never going to be easy to do this, but it was absolutely necessary to get it done. And let's never forget, Chris, that I said I was blue in the face before the election, that there was a budget emergency. We would tackle it. We would get the budget back under control, and that's what we're doing.
Well, people don't seem to believe that there's an emergency, and they don't seem to think that your budget is fair.
As I said, it's never easy to do the sorts of things that we've done in this budget, but this is a budget for building as well as for saving. It's the biggest infrastructure build in the Commonwealth's history. It's a budget for playing to our strengths as well as living within our means. There's a world-class medical research future fund in there. So I'm confident that over time what we will see is that this budget repair will feed into a stronger economy, because that's what people want. They want a stronger economy for a safe and secure Australia.
Well, large parts of your budget are yet to pass the Senate and probably won't pass the next one. On the weekend, you were spruiking the loans plan for tradies, saying it starts today. It won't start today, will it?
Well, it will start as soon as the relevant legislation is in place. And it's a very important innovation, because it will give to trades trainees effectively the same kind of support that we've long given to university students, and that's a good thing.
But it won't if it doesn't pass the Senate.
Well, look, Chris, I appreciate that the Senate has a mind of its own, but I'm determined to work as constructively as I can with the new Senate. And let's not forget that we've had nothing but mindless obstruction from the Labor Party and the Greens over the last 9 months.
But did you do the right kind of spade work? Why didn't you talk to the AMA before going ahead with a Medicare co-payment?
There were conversations with people in the medical profession, and as you know, the AMA does support a co-payment in principle. So those conversations will continue, because the fundamental point I make, Chris, is that if it's fair and reasonable for people to face a modest co-payment when they go and get their prescription drugs from the pharmacy, there's no reason why it's not also fair and reasonable to face a modest co-payment when you visit the doctor.
And fair and reasonable to have a long conversation with the Australian people before you make these kinds of changes?
Well, we've been having a conversation with the Australian people for quite a few years now, and the essence of our conversation before the last election was that Labor was running up this debt and deficit disaster.
And they didn't have the detail of your prescription, though, did they?
Well, they had a lot of detail. For instance, they knew well in advance that the cash splash that was the school kids bonus wasn't going to continue, that a whole lot of things like the low-income superannuation payment that were funded by the mining tax weren't going to continue.
But didn't know that the pension age was going to go up.
What we've simply done with that, Chris, is continue the trajectory that the former Labor government put in place. The former Labor government, as you know, didn't say anything before an election, but it did raise the pension age to 67, did so with support of the coalition, and we're simply continuing the trajectory for some further years, so that by 2035, which is 20 years off, the pension age will be 70. Now, I don't think that's unreasonable, given the changes to people's healthy life expectancy. And I should also point out that today what is starting is the restart bonus, which is there as an incentive for employers to take on people over 50 who've been unemployed and to keep them employed.
One thing that we do know is that the carbon tax is going up today. Do you trust Clive Palmer to keep his word and cut the carbon tax?
Chris, I expect all of the crossbench senators to be true to their pre-election commitments. And obviously, the Palmer senators did make that commitment loud and clear before the election that they were against the carbon tax and they'd repeal it. Mr. Palmer spectacularly declared last week that he was going to vote to repeal the carbon tax. So I don't take anything for granted and I don't count my chickens prematurely, but nevertheless, I think the public are entitled to expect the carbon tax to go in the next week or so. And certainly the last thing we want is the world's biggest carbon tax just going up and up and up. And obviously, it did go up today, pending repeal in a fortnight's time.
Does Clive Palmer have questions to answer over whether Chinese money was used to fund his campaign?
Well, that's a matter between Mr. Palmer and the people who are claiming that there is an issue. Obviously, there is a dispute on, and let's see how that gets resolved.
But do you believe that he should answer these questions? They seem to be quite serious ones.
Look, they are obviously questions that have been risen, have been posed, and that's a matter for Mr. Palmer and the people who are raising these questions. I mean, my fight, Chris, is not with Mr. Palmer or the Palmer Party. My fight is with the Labor Party. My fight is to get the carbon tax repealed, the mining tax repealed, to get the building and construction COP back on the beat. That's what I want to do, to get the budget bills through the Senate. That's the fight I'm ready, willing and able to have.
Now, 25 of your backbenchers have written to you asking for aluminium smelting to be exempt from the renewable energy target. Will you do that?
Chris, look, we've got a review underway of the renewable energy target. We've got a good team that's doing it. I'm going to wait for the review and then we'll respond. But obviously, the point I've been making pre-election and post-election is that the renewable energy target is very significantly driving up power prices. Increasing power prices obviously pose a serious threat, not just to domestic budgets, but also to the competitiveness of industries, particularly energy-intensive industries. I think we should be the affordable energy capital of the world, not the unaffordable energy capital of the world, and that's why the carbon tax must go, and that's why we're reviewing the renewable energy target.
And to cut it?
Well, I don't want to lose perfectly good industries that employ thousands of people and which value add for our country.
So you think it should be lower?
The review is taking place now, Chris, and let's wait and see what the review comes up with. But all of us should want to see lower power prices. And plainly, at the moment, the renewable energy target is a very significant impact on higher power prices.
Prime Minister, is the government intending to try and get Sri Lanka to take a boatload of asylum seekers?
We are stopping the boats. That's what we're doing, Chris. We are stopping the boats. I'm not going to comment on the operational details of what happens on the water, but obviously we have been successful up till now. It's more than 6 months since a successful people smuggling venture made it to Australia, and that's a record that the government is determined to maintain if we possibly can.
To your knowledge, are people in Australia actively organising and recruiting young men to fight with militants in Iraq?
Well, certainly there are a disappointingly large number of Australians who have gone to Syria and Iraq to fight with the militants, and the determination of this government is to ensure that just as we have stopped illegal boats coming to Australia, that as far as we humanly can, we stop jihadists coming to Australia, because these people do seem to have been radicalised and militarised, and we don't want people who are a menace to our community walking around on our streets.
Finally, Prime Minister, we grew up with Rolf Harris. How do you feel today about the news that he's been found guilty of sexual abuse?
Well, look, it's a terrible, terrible business. Sexual abuse is an utterly abhorrent crime. It is an absolutely, utterly abhorrent crime, and it's just sad and tragic this person, who was widely admired, seems to have been a perpetrator. So look, I feel gutted and dismayed, but it's very important that we do everything we humanly can to protect vulnerable young people.
Prime Minister, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Tony Abbott, the Prime Minister.